You're listening to the LifeScan Learning Lab edition of the Get Balanced podcast with Dr. Donnie and co-host Chief Todd LeDuc, episode 73.
Welcome to the Get Balanced podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balanced program. Let's get started.
You're listening to the LifeScan Learning Lab edition of the Get Balanced podcast with me, Dr. Donnie, and my co-host, Chief Todd LeDuc, and also Chief Strategy Officer for LifeScan Wellness Centers. Todd, let me turn it over to you and introduce our guest today.
Great. Thanks, Donnie. I appreciate it. Always great to be back doing another episode. I've lost track of how many episodes we're up to now, but I know it's been a thrill and a great ride that we've had so many tremendous friends and colleagues and guests on in talking about so many important issues in the fire service. And you know, today's no different. I'm thrilled to have a colleague on, Chief Rob Lowe, who's a over three decade member of the fire service in the Southeast United States. And I'll let him introduce himself, but we're thrilled to have him today as our guest. We're going to talk about some important topics that, you know, really the chief's got a very personal perspective he's hopefully going to share with us today, and on some issues that we all are facing in the fire service, and we need to continue to be mindful of these, and we want to dedicate today's show to the issue of occupational cancer in the fire service. So we're going to touch on that shortly. But Chief, welcome. Thank you for joining us. And I wonder if you could just start maybe by introducing yourself to our audience. Donnie tells me he does all the analytics. I'm a techno neophyte that we've got listeners from all over, not only the country, but internationally as well. So maybe for folks that aren't familiar with you, if you could maybe just tell them a little bit about yourself, how you get into the fire service, where your journey's taken you. I would really appreciate that in sharing your path.
Absolutely. And first of all, Chief LeDuc, thank you for this opportunity, and Dr. Donnie as well. I appreciate it. This is important to me to be able to share with others. So I've had a great career. Like you said earlier, I've got over 30 years in the fire service, and I've been with six different agencies, all with a variety of services provided that's allowed me some great opportunities that I certainly couldn't have at a single agency. And it's been a great ride, and I've enjoyed every piece of it along the way. You know, when I started out, I started out as a volunteer. And quite honestly, it wasn't something that was on my radar as being a volunteer firefighter. But I drove over a bridge one day on the beach that I lived, and they were looking for volunteers. And I thought, that sounds interesting to me. And my dad was one years before. And so I called him up, talked to him, and he goes, yeah, I think you ought to give it a shot. So that's kind of my entry into the fire service. And I never looked back. And like I said, it's been a great opportunity and a great ride ever since.
That's fantastic. And, you know, certainly, you know, not lost on many of our audience and listeners. You know, we all know about 70% or so of the American fire service is volunteer and provided by volunteers supporting and serving their communities. So you having that perspective in a broad array of departments, I'm sure has given you great perspective on the fire service and probably even what we're going to talk about today. So I know you're very familiar with LifeScan Wellness Centers and what we do for those that maybe aren't that are listening to this podcast. LifeScan is the nation's largest provider of comprehensive early detection, public safety physicals, not just NFPA, but enhanced NFPA physicals in the United States. So I think, Chief, you may not be aware, this year we're on track to see 50,000 first responders, both fire and law enforcement, our brothers and sisters, in 25 states. And I know, you've been personally a recipient of going through LifeScan, and I wonder if you can just maybe share a little bit about your experience, your annual physical. I know you said you've worked in other departments, maybe, you know, how that's changed. We just had Chief Bruce Varner on, who started his career. He dated himself. It was, I think, Donnie, 1960, was it four or?
67.
67. Yeah. Yeah. Under Bruno, under working with Alan Brunicini in Phoenix, and you know, so he has such a long perspective, and he said he thought we're about 75% of the way there on health and safety in the fire service compared to where we were back in 1967. But you've obviously spent over three decades. You've been in departments, and you've seen LifeScan. I wonder if you can just talk a little bit about department physicals and LifeScan, and then I'm sure we'll get into your personal journey that you're currently fighting today. So, Chief, I'll let you kind of take that dialogue from whatever perspective you're comfortable.
Okay. Yeah. And you know, again, having worked for so many agencies, I was blessed that each one took annual physicals seriously, and you know, it was something that I've always had. And one of the agencies I worked for, and it's been, you know, a number of years, so I can't recall if it was actually the LifeScan, but it was very similar if it wasn't, that came in and did, you know, department physicals, annual physicals. So it's been important to me. I've bought into that from day one. I've always felt some protection with that, if you will. And just been very lucky that the agencies have always taken it very serious, as they should.
That's wonderful to hear. It kind of reinforces Chief Varner's perspective, you know, that we're 75% of the way from his perspective. You know, I know Donnie, I think, has heard me say this before. The IFC did a survey of its membership in 2016. And there was about 20% of career departments that weren't doing any type of physicals. And on the volunteer side, that number was 40%, even higher. And only 10% of any physicals for first responders that were in this survey had a behavioral health component. So certainly very fortunate that the departments you were blessed to work with had a focus on health and safety. So this I'd like to talk a little bit, if it's okay, this last, I guess, round of LifeScan physicals. You actually were the recipient of an early detection, or I don't know if early is the right word, but a detection. So would you be comfortable talking about your actual physical and where that journey has led you today?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's been quite the journey this year. And since I've been involved with the agency that I'm currently at, we've had LifeScan physicals every year. And you know, I've always appreciated their effort that they put into it, the thoroughness that they have. This year was unique, and somewhere around January, I developed a cough that was completely unproductive, no other signs and symptoms, just annoying, if you will. And it went on for a month or so, and I checked with my primary care, and they went through some blood work and testing, and you know, just trying to figure out what was going on, and just figured that, you know, maybe it was an irritation in my airway. Gave me some medicine for it, and you know, it seemed to help a little bit. But during my LifeScan physical this year, it was still going on. So as people know that are familiar with LifeScan, you get an opportunity to meet with the nurse and kind of talk to her and give her some ideas, you know, on how your health is and what's going on in your life. And I shared with her that I had this cough that was still bothering me, that I really couldn't identify. I've checked with my primary care. We've been through the blood work and stuff, and nothing really came to light as to what was going on. So she recommended that I follow up and get a chest x-ray, which is what I did not have. And our agency does it every 5 years. And next year is chest x-ray year. And so it wasn't scheduled this year. And she was quite concerned that maybe I had an exposure to the TB and there was something going on there. And so she pushed me for that. And thank goodness she did. I went to my primary care, set up a chest x-ray, and it came back with a almost 6-centimeter mass in the center of my chest where my trachea splits. I think it's called the crinia or cranium. And right there is when the cancer journey began. They identified that, put me on, my primary put me on task with a pulmonologist who went in and did a bronchoscopy. Took some samples out, sent it off for testing, and it came back as a melanoma. So, you know, my 2017, I had an x-ray unrelated to LifeScan, but there was nothing identified there. So this is, in my opinion, an early detection win. And, you know, thank goodness for the nurse and her attentiveness and pushing me to do more than the norm and say, hey, let's figure this thing out. And, you know, my hat's off to them. It was, you know, I owe them a lot, you know, for that. But once it was identified, you know, I started the treatment journey and started out with some immunotherapy, which, you know, just kind of went down about a 3-month path of that. And once the immunotherapy kind of ran its course, of course, I had a PET scan, a CAT scan, some more tests. It didn't quite react the way they had hoped with the oncologists. And so now they've switched me over to oral chemo, which I do daily. But, you know, knock on wood, I hope it's an early detection success story, you know, at the end of the day. So, you know, I feel good. I have a lot of ups and downs, you know, from the side effects of chemo. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's a blessing to be here.
Well, as I said, Chief, before we started the recording and the podcast, I'll say it now so our listeners can hear it. I have to thank you for the courage to share your journey and your story. I know that can't be easy. You know, I know I've heard from folks that have been diagnosed when you hear the word cancer, just what runs through your mind and your emotions and then processing all that. And you're in the midst of treatment is the courage to share your personal journey is commendable. One, but more importantly, I have no doubt whether that's for that 20% of career or 40% of volunteer that we just maybe touched on that aren't getting any type of firefighter physicals might certainly motivate some, not only individuals, but hopefully departments to I mean, just how compelling, at least for me to hear, you know, that, you know, LifeScan, we've heard a lot of Donnie and myself have heard a lot of just stories like yours from the imaging portion, which is an hour of the exam, as you know. But to hear this was just clinical astuteness from our nurse practitioner in picking up on next steps. And, you know, I think for our listeners too, I mean, the chief knows this, the importance is when you go in for this exam, you're not just any ordinary occupation. You're a firefighter that we know, according to the NIOSH reports and studies, you know, the NIOSH one had over 30,000 firefighters from San Francisco, Chicago, and Philadelphia, that we have a 9% overall higher rate of cancer. And in many cases, it's more aggressive than cancers in general population and other folks that aren't exposed to the type of carcinogens and synthetics that when they burn just are toxic to us. So I know we're real proud at LifeScan just of having all of our clinical teams tuned in to having that higher kind of higher medical surveillance at higher, you know, we say all the time we do enhanced detection. It's because we have enhanced risk, you know, so, but I got to ask, and Donnie's probably going to want to jump in here at some point shortly, but the, you know, as I'm listening to you tell your story, and I've never been diagnosed with cancer, but it had to have a tremendous impact on not only you personally, but family and work and just your world. And, you know, I know we've got resources, and we've had, Donnie and I had, my dear friend, Chief Brian Frieders on, who's president of the Firefighter Cancer Support Network. And we have great groups out there, such as the network to help support. But, can you share a little bit about, you know, what you went through when you had that, finality that, yes, you are going to be battling cancer, and what that meant. And because I know we've got a lot of brothers and sisters that are in the same spot right now, and probably could benefit from hearing what either worked for you or what didn't work, what we need to do better at.
Sure. And, you know, it's an eye opener. You know, it's not something that you expect. And, you know, of course you go through, you know, various stages of acceptance and denial and, you know, all those great things. And, you know, and that's where I was, you know, when I first got diagnosed, I was mad, you know, at me, at the fire service. And, sorry, guys.
Yeah, just take your time. And I know that was a difficult question for me to ask. And again, I know your courage of sharing is not easy.
It's tough. And, you know, like I said, it changes things, and, you know, it changes your perspectives on things. The positive is it refocuses you. You know, for me, it refocused me on probably looking at things differently, or how I should have been looking at them, you know, years before.
What do you mean by that? It refocused?
Well, you know, family and friends, you kind of, you know, you get, I got absorbed into fire service. It became my life. You know, it's everything to me. You know, and sometimes you put family and friends on the side burner and you know, focus more on the fire service than probably I should. Especially early on in my career, you know, I thought I was that, you know, that badass guy that was indestructible. And, you know, all I wanted to do was be at the firehouse because I wanted to run calls. I wanted to be cool. I wanted to do great stuff. And, you know, it kind of realigns that a little bit and makes you realize that, you know, you probably need to back up for a minute and just appreciate the things that you have. So it is challenging, and, you know, it hurts my feelings, but, you know, it's here. It's not going to go away by me just ignoring it. So, you know, I have to trudge ahead and battle it. I can tell you this, and the chief mentioned it earlier. I was diagnosed on March 17th and March 18th. I called the Firefighter Cancer Support Network, and they were. Sorry, guys.
It's okay.
Yeah. But they were.
Take your time.
Yeah. So they were a tremendous resource.
Yeah.
And pointing me in the right direction. And to this day, I owe a lot to them for keeping me focused and grounded and giving me hope and say, yeah, we can get through this and we're going to get through it together.
Yeah.
And that was important. So.
And they're still by your side too, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, our state rep, you know, he calls and checks on me and, you know, I'm on Twitter, so he follows me on there. And, you know, I try and send some cancer messages out from.
Is that our good friend, Keith Tyson?
It is. Yeah. And Keith is
an amazing individual.
Yeah. You know, he got me hooked up with the University of Miami very early on, which, I'm sure you guys are aware, does a lot of firefighter cancer research. And that was a great experience. you know, they're still part of my local oncologist's communication and treatment plan. And, you know, so they've been a tremendous resource as well. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to get into some of their experimental programs. And and I tell you, that's one of the challenges I realized when you're diagnosed, you have a lot of choices to make and you have a lot of things going through your mind on what's right and what's not right. And it's very scary. And when I went to the University of Miami, they wanted certainly me to be in their program, to be in this trial program that they also had going on. It was the same medication as my oncologist had recommended over here, plus some additional stuff. However, it's about a 3 or 4 week extension on the start of treatment to get approved, because there's a board approval process for that. And, you know, so in my head, I'm thinking, well, is that 3 or 4 weeks missing treatment going to make a difference? So I opted to go local here, and the oncologist here is wonderful. And one of the first things he did was call the University of Miami and talk to the doctor that I was communicating with and got him on board. And so any change in treatment stuff, they kind of bounce off of each other, which is huge. You know, and certainly they probably don't have to do that, but they do. And it's a wonderful thing. So, and it gives me confidence that, you know, a lot of people are on your side going through this. A lot of doctors are on your side. The resources are there. And, you know, I'm not going to lie, it's scary. And you know, but you can get through it. And but you've got to talk to people. You've got to talk about your issue. To me, that's been very therapeutic, you know, sharing this story with others and encouraging people to, you know, get their annual physical. And one of the first talks I had with my fire chief after I was diagnosed is I was absolutely a proponent from going to every 5-year chest x-rays. This was found, and because no other test popped anything positive. And so a huge proponent of that. And FDA kind of loosely recommends it every year, kind of, you know, as indicated, if you will, I think is the language they use. But I would certainly encourage everybody to look at their departments, encourage their departments to have that chest x-ray, because that's a big deal.
Wow. Just powerful, you know, the journey that you've been through, continue to be on. In sharing, I think a couple takeaways that I heard anyways, where there's a lot of resources that are out there. Sometimes, you know, once you get that diagnosis, I'm sure it's overwhelming. One of the things we've tried to do it at LifeScan in that vein is there's so many, right? There's, we mentioned, you know, the great work the Firefighter Cancer Support Network does, but the IFF has a tremendous amount of resources, the volunteer side of the house. So if you look at visit our website, which is www.lifescanwellness.com, there's actually a tab on there of resources/toolbox where we've brought all of those into one spot. And you can just click if you want to look at Firefighter Cancer Support Network, and it takes you right there. If you want to get to the IFF's cancer resources, it takes you right to their portal. So tremendous. And the other thing you touched on was just, you said it, and the science bears you out, is early detection saves lives. I mean, that's the bottom line. We know we're all doing our part with prevention and risk reduction, but you know, the reality is, even outside the fire service, 40% of the United States at some point in their life is going to battle cancer. You know, when Donnie's seen me do this in presentations, you know, when I ask, look to the person to the right or look to the person to the left, one of you is going to have cancer. And that's just the sad reality of where we're at right now until we can cure cancer, which no doubt in my mind at some point we will. But until that time, early detection is really, we know the earlier we find any type of cancer, the better the survival, the outcome, the less trauma that the member is going to have to go through. So I really thank you for sharing that. I know it wasn't easy, but I know there's a plethora of folks that are going to listen to this podcast, and whether it's them, or likely a fellow brother and sister that they've worked with or are working with is going to need this assistance. So,
hey, Chief, if you would be willing, when you received the diagnosis, were you in the physician's office?
I was.
Were you by yourself or did you have family with you?
No, it was just me. And, you know, you kind of know what's going on. You just had a test done and they call you and say, hey, can you be here in 2 hours? You know, that's kind of an early sign that it's not going to be a good day.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then for the listeners, what mm-hmm. advice on, or how do you inform your family? You know, what was that process like? If you think of someone that's getting that diagnosis today.
Yeah.
It's gotta be extremely,
Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah.
You know, that was probably the toughest.
Yeah.
The toughest day.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's important to do. And, you know, I did it the next day.
Did you?
Yeah. And, sorry guys, there's no easy way to do that. But it's a necessity. And, I found that, once I got it past the family and started talking about it, it just got easier to understand that, yeah, I do have this problem. And I just need to hit it head on. So that was a hard day, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Problem. But, you know, again, for our listeners, I truly believe we have barely scratched the surface on the magnitude of cancer in the fire service. You know, we've got the One Mac Daddy study out there, which is the NIOSH, but you know what, until we get we're fortunate that we have a cancer registry that was signed into law, passed by, I guess, something that we were able to get through Washington, passed by both chambers of Congress and signed by, into law by the president, several years ago, maybe 2 years ago, that's going to help us actually know how large, right? Because many of our volunteers, you know, if they contract cancer, it doesn't get listed that they're a firefighter. It's their day profession. So I think when all is said and done, we've got an epidemic in the fire service of cancer. And I think, you being a personal recipient of what is really affecting so many of our brothers and sisters, and you very sharing very difficult journey that not even that has finished for you, but that you're battling through, is no doubt going to raise awareness to departments and individuals about whether it's, you know, clean our gear, whether it's decontaminate ourselves, whether it's up our game with annual physicals. It's, you know, it's also lifestyle too. We have to be mindful of, you know, what we eat, how we take care of ourselves, all of it together, you know, is what we need to all work to continue to drive cancer out of the fire service. So you're sharing it. I know is going to be a wake up call to not only listeners, but departments to go back and reexamine what they're doing as departments. So thank you for sharing. I wanted to ask you, is there anything that you think from your perspective that you'd like to share with our listeners that that they should be considering as they look forward for next steps after listening to today's podcast and reflecting on what they're doing personally, what their departments are doing? Any wisdom that you would impart from your 34 years and most recently this diagnosis and your journey currently to get back to health?
Yeah, I think, you know, looking back, it's a very humbling thing to kind of look back on your career and see what you've done and where you've gone. And I think the fire service is slowly changing the mentality of, you know, I'm just a badass. I can go in and eat smoke and do whatever I want and come back out and go home the next day and be good. Unfortunately, you know, I'll still see videos that pop up from various agencies where they're fighting fire. There was one recently from a department in the Northeast that did a ventilation, which was classic. It was beautiful. No air pack on, no breathing protection. And that just baffles me at this point. So, you know, it's there for a reason. You may think you're tough, but I promise you that you know, medically, your body's gonna get abused and it's gonna react without you having any input in that. And, you know, decon is so important. You know, I sent out a thing that, you know, Lexapol had talked about, you know, your helmet is a badge of honor. And, you know, I looked at my helmets on the wall and, you know, I got, you know, five of them and four of them are burnt up and, you know, charred and black. And, you know, so unfortunately in my 34th year, my badge of honor was a chest x-ray with a tumor in the center of it. So, you know, it, as cool as that stuff is, we've got to change that mentality. And like I said, some agencies do it very well. Unfortunately, some of the more traditional older agencies are still kind of eating that smoke and doing things that really are going to put you, you know, at a higher risk the older you get and the longer you do it. And I would encourage everybody to, you know, look at second set of gears, look at, you know, second set of gloves and hoods and the particulate hoods and wearing your PPE when you're supposed to and cleaning it afterwards and, you know, taking those steps to really protect yourself. This is such a high risk business. And, you know, it may be cool that day, but I promise you, it's not cool when you get that diagnosis.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, Chief, I think you point out too, there's an element too. I mean, I'm just going to, it is what it is. I'll say it, of both personal and leadership accountability as well. Right. We would never think of, you know, putting our firefighters on a spongy roof and, you know, the same thing. We've got to hold people accountable, you know, to those safety practices, being on air, decontaminating, cleaning their gear. And I'll add annual physicals. I mean, no matter how well we did, Donnie's heard me say it, you know, I ask all the time, how many people here have a preventative maintenance program for their apparatus? 100 hands go up in the room, right? We'd never think of putting our members in a truck with spongy brakes and bald tires and sending them off down the street. But at that same time, we've got to have that same mentality in taking care of our people, all the stuff that you mentioned and then some. So,
yeah. Yeah. Todd, I want to mention to you that, I'm not sure if we talked about this or not, but, I was on a fire scene last week. It was a house fire and, the fire was trapped in the attic and stuff. And this house was buttoned up so tight it, you know, they couldn't get to it until it literally burned through the roof. And then once that happened, it just took off. And, but, it was such a large one. They called in mutual aid and the company that came, the department that came in, one of their leaders is circling the house, walking around the house, no breathing apparatus. And I was standing there with some of the other firefighters that were on a either going through rehab or just coming out of rehab because it was a very hot environment. And but I was sort of like, you know, dumbfounded. I mean, the guy had to at least be in his 40s. I mean, he's very, you know, very experienced and just dumbfounded as into why put yourself out in that? Of all we know today, but it still happens. I guess I thought it was rare, but perhaps it's not that rare. I don't know.
Well, as I'll go back to Chief Farner saying, you know, we're about 75% of the way there and maybe he was being a little generous, but you know, he's had the vantage of time to look at PSOAR. I certainly, and I know the chief, you've seen it in your time as well. I mean, we've made tremendous strides, but there's much work more to be done, which is the reason, you know, sharing your story in your wisdom is so important, because the more we're talking about this, the more it becomes accepted and ingrained, and it just becomes the new normal, if you will. We're getting there. It's definitely, I think, mm-hmm. as we continue to press forward, and we've got great collaboration among so many of the different stakeholder entities, whether that's IFF or National Volunteer Fire Council. You mentioned University of Miami and so many others, just everyone working to try to put all the pieces in place to tackle this scourge.
Hey, Todd, if I could ask Chief Lowe, is there anything that you'd like to talk about that we did not ask or anything, or expand more on something?
I think, one thing, if I can just add a little bit, is, you know, what I've learned about the cancer journey is it's not necessarily cumulative exposure. It could simply be a one-time thing that just twisted your body the wrong direction. So, you know, don't think that, oh, I can do it this time and I just won't do it again. That may be the only time you have to do it, and, to become diagnosed with cancer. So, I just encourage everybody out there to be safe. This is already a risky business. It's a great career. You just don't want it to end with the diagnosis. And, it's a fight that I didn't choose to fight. But probably looking back on my career, I put myself in a position to where, I'm going to have to fight this at some point by making bad choices. And, I don't have a family history of it. I've never smoked, used tobacco, any of that stuff. So, who's to say? But, you know, like I said, it could have been something as simple as a fire I was at last year during brush fire season that all of a sudden triggered something that says we're going to make this happen inside your body. So be alert 100% of the time.
Great advice.
Great advice. You know, you touched on, I just want to be remiss. My our dear friend, Dr. Lori Moore Merrill, would counsel me if I didn't point it out, you know, the importance too of exposure tracking. As well, NIFWARS is a great resource out there. It's free. And as we have exposures, to be able to track. So God forbid you do have a diagnosis, being availed of all the benefits that you're entitled to. So something to think about and check out for our listeners. But Chief, I want to be mindful of your time, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming on and being so open and candid with your journey. I know you're still battling, so we will continue to keep you in our thoughts and prayers, and stay close to the Firefighter Cancer Support Network. I know they do wonderful work, and we'll keep in touch. I want next time I talk to you, I want to keep hearing you're getting better every day, and I look forward to when you're completely cancer free, and certainly have you back on as well.
I appreciate the opportunity. You know, it's a great platform to get out there. Don't be afraid of emotions if you're on this journey. It's just all part of it. And I just thank you for this opportunity, and I hope the people that listen to this, listen to it wholeheartedly and protect yourself. I just can't say that enough. Protect yourself and your family.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you both very much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, if you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balanced program. Not sure if you are balanced or not? Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.